It's Morning Edition. I'm Carrie Nolan. Last month, Dr. Lakeisha Walrond became the New York Theological Seminary's first African-American and first woman president in its 119-year history. WNYC's cultural critic Rebecca Carroll sat down with Walrond to discuss her appointment and what she hopes to do with her ministry at this historic religious institution. Rebecca joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie.
So last week, you talked to another Black first, Zach Stafford, who just became the first African-American editor-in-chief of The Advocate. You asked him about the honor and also the burden of being a first. How did you approach that with Dr. Walrond?
So what came up in my conversation with Stafford was that we both felt is depressing that we're still having firsts in 2019. But on the other hand, there's something about it that still feels like a badge of honor, like a testament to our resilience. Dr. Walrond said something similar.
You look at where we are, right? It's 2019, and you think that we should have already had these kinds of firsts, right, a long time ago, because this institution, New York Theological Seminary, is 119 years old.
I was going to get to that next,
right?
Yes, yeah.
And so the fact that it's taken 119 years for them to have their first female president, it is exciting, but at the same time, you wonder why and how did it take so long?
The seminary was founded in 1900. That is a long wait.
I mean, it really is. But also, what's important to remember is that that was during a violently anti-Black racist time in history. The Jim Crow South, lynching still happening on the regular, segregation, and the KKK when they still wore hoods. And it was shaped around this idea of urban ministry. And I was really interested in knowing what exactly was meant by that, since the word urban now is so often code for Black. So here's what Dr. Walrond said about that.
It means ministry in the context of where the masses are. So we think about New York being the urban capital of the world. It's not necessarily the Black capital of the world, but it's the place where all of these issues, when you have large gatherings of people who are trying to move forward in work and in ministry and in life, the issues that they tackle along their move. Mm. So like the mental health issue, like the mass incarceration, issues of hunger and homelessness, those issues, education, where we see people on the ground doing the work to make sure that everyone has the same access and is able to move forward in a way that's beneficial not only to themselves, but to the community and yet to our world.
Is there a corollary rural ministry?
That's a great question. Absolutely. I think there are issues that happen in rural communities that are unique to those areas. I had great grandparents who were farmers and so grew up on the farm. And I was that, you know, great grandchild who was going and picking apples for the apple pies and, you know, feeding the chickens and those kinds of things. So certainly I think there are issues that are unique to rural areas. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I still think that those communities experience urban issues as well.
So, Rebecca, even if urban doesn't mean Black in this context, religion has historically played a major role in the Black community.
Absolutely. And it's kind of amazing to think of the origins of that meaning and measure. As a fairly non-religious Black woman myself, I've often wondered how we manage to sustain whatever faith in God we have as a culture. Here's what Dr. Walrond said.
When I think about our ancestors who were enslaved people, and I think about how they were able to find faith in such dark times and in such difficult circumstances. One of the things I remember is the fact that it was illegal, right, for enslaved folks to read. And so they really didn't have access to the Bible as we have access to the Bible. But somehow, even in not having access to the Bible, they were able to find the Lord. They were able to be in relationship with this God who they believed would deliver them from the oppression of slavery. And so we have had a strong God and faith belief system from even back then that has stayed with us and helped to push, I believe, our race forward. And I think that's where our faith comes in. It's always been kind of undergirding our community, that hope that things will get better, that things have to get better, you know, that the mountaintop is there for us.
That is a lot to wrap your head around, especially as we continue to see such pain and injustice targeted particularly at the Black community.
I know, and I couldn't help but ask Dr. Walron, because the seminary does a lot of work with incarcerated Black men, what her thoughts were about the Exonerated Five, formerly the Central Park Five, who are having a much-deserved moment of justice and appreciation as the result of Ava DuVernay's Netflix series When They See Us.
I'm so grateful that the Central Park Five is being brought to light the way that it is, but there are so many more women and men who are suffering in our system that need the help, that need the same help, that need the same attention. So I'm so grateful that New York Theological Seminary has a Master's in Professional Studies program at Sing Sing Correctional Institution that was started back in 1986. We'll be celebrating 40 years of graduating men with this degree. So if we get back to the fundamental thought that we're all human, then whether we are in prison or whether we are not in prison, we're still human.
And we can nourish each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. And support each other and help each other find a way forward. Because there are a lot of people who aren't in prison physically, but who are in prison mentally, absolutely. Psychologically, yeah. Spiritually. And so how do we minister to those folks as well?
Wow. She sounds completely undaunted by the work ahead of her.
I know, and that is where my faith lies. That's really what my God is about, a Black woman stepping in to lead a century-old institution with the mission of lifting up our people and reminding us and everyone that we're all human.
WNYC's cultural critic Rebecca Carroll, thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thank you, Carrie.